Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. And a warm welcome to the afternoon show. I'm Bill Arnold, and I do want to start today by saying shalom, which is peace. It's a greeting, and it's also how we express peace with one another. And when I think of the very first day of the week when the disciples were together on the evening of the first day, Jesus had risen from the dead. The doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them. And the first words were, "Peace be with you." And after this, he showed him his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. But what an interesting first word is, "Peace be with you." We're going to talk about peace today with my friend Tom Berkowitz. You can learn more about Tom and his amazing ministry at themessianicjourney.org. He and his wife, Marcia, have got a powerful ministry, and you can learn about it once again at themessianicjourney.org. Tom, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Bill.
Oh, it's always nice to see you. And I do want to talk about peace. And I've got so much scripture I want to talk about. But maybe we can start today off by you just giving us that blessing, or that peace blessing.
Right. This would probably date back 2,000 years ago. It's Shalom Aleichem, Hashem, HaMashiach, Yeshua, Sar HaShalom. Peace be unto you. In the name of Messiah Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And Jesus came during one of the most tumultuous times in Israel's history under Roman rule. And he became the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm. You weren't showing off by speaking Hebrew, were you?
You know,
because if you were, I might have an issue.
I'm not showing off, but I'm sure Moses would have sounded exactly like me if he was born in North Minneapolis with a speech impediment.
All right, let me hear that one more time. I want to hear that beautiful blessing, that shalom peace, one more time in Hebrew.
Shalom Aleichem, B'Hashem, HaMashiach, Yeshua, Sar HaShalom.
Mm-hmm. So interesting that Jesus would use his first appearance to his disciples after the resurrection, and his first words would be, "Peace be with you."
Yes, and he had prepped them for that probably a little more than 72 hours before at the last Seder, the last Passover. We call it the Last Supper.
Mm-hmm.
And just after he tells them, he's going to give them the Holy Spirit, the helper, the advocate. He says these words, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. So do not be afraid or let your heart be troubled."
Mm.
He prepped them for that.
Yeah. Tom Berkowitz is my guest. We're talking about peace today. And Tom, I can't think of a topic that is more volatile right now in the world than peace and the lack of peace, not only in the world, but in the lives of people that could be listening right now.
Right. And it's interesting. One of my favorite passages in the Hebrew scriptures is in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 26:3.
Love that.
"He will keep him in perfect peace whose heart is stayed or fixed on you because he trusts in you." I mean, what a great promise.
Mm-hmm.
And perfect peace in Hebrew is shalom, shalom. Now, that's the biblical word. In Israel, modern Israel today, when they greet you, they'll say shalom, shalom. When you leave, they'll say shalom, shalom. But biblically, shalom, shalom is perfect peace. And it conveys an image of wholeness, unity, harmony, that is complete, and it's not lacking in anything. And that's what God is trying to give his people, call upon his name. It's really interesting in the sacrificial system. They have the sin offering for our sins, Immediately following that is the peace offering. You can't have peace until your sins are covered by the blood. And that was temporary. Now it's permanent if you call upon the name of Jesus.
Tom, there's so many dimensions of peace I want to talk about today, because Scripture has all kinds of peace references and peace verses. And I want to start, if you don't mind, with Romans 5:1, which is, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So are we understanding this peace to be a positional kind of peace? We have been granted peace because of the righteousness which God has given us through faith.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was hoping for a longer answer, but I'm good with that.
But it is by surrendering our will to God's will, so His will can be done in our life, we can find peace no matter what the turmoil is. And virtually, I mean, peace is all over the Hebrew Scriptures, and it has a richer, fuller meaning in the Hebrew Scriptures than it does in the Greek in the New Testament. But when Jesus was talking about peace, when Paul was talking about peace, when John was talking about peace, James and Jacob, Jude, they were using their Hebrew position and their Hebrew understanding of it.
Tom Berkowitz is my guest. We're talking about peace today, and we're absolutely in search of peace, and we're looking for the peace of God and the peace with God. We're going to talk about that today as well. So let's talk about one of the most Googled verses during the COVID-19 pandemic, which is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. May I read that?
Sure.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's the peace of God. It's not peace with God, it's peace of God.
Right. And it's such a rich, rich saying, but to really understand it, I think we have to understand the context. Paul was in prison writing this. In 2 Corinthians, he was saying he despaired for his very life. He had no hope of getting out. Everything was for the Lord. And Paul, and sometimes we don't read Paul as being human. He was human. He was hurt. You've gone through tough times. I've gone through tough times. Where is God? Why am I going through this? That's the condition he was when he wrote. And what I like is before those verses, he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And then verse 5, he said, let your gentle spirit be known to all people, especially as the day is near. And then it goes, do not be anxious about anything. What I really like is the New American Standard, the 2020. It says, present your pleadings before God. We're pleading before God, and He's going to give us a peace, His peace that transcends all understanding. We'll keep our hearts and mind fixed on Him.
So sometimes when we fight earthly problems with earthly solutions, we never end up with peace.
Oh.
But when we fight earthly problems with heavenly solutions, there is where we find this peace, which transcends all understanding and will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a promise.
Yeah, right. It's just fabulous, but it requires a surrenderness to God. And what it really does is helps us to get our eyes off of us and onto God. Because if you keep looking at the problem, it can become overwhelming.
I couldn't agree more. Tom Berkowitz is my guest. We're talking about peace. If you just joined, climbed in your car, or turned on the radio, we're so glad that you're listening today, because I know all of us want more peace in our life. And maybe peace has been disrupted in your life. I know that there's been a disruption of peace in my life, even in this last year. And you go, well, there is an abundance of peace that only God can give. And you cling to verses and you cling to God's promises. One of the verses that I just love, Tom, and I memorized it 30 years ago, is John 14:27, where Jesus says, peace I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I don't give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid.
Yeah, what a promise.
Oh, my.
And it's more than just a word. It's that inner comfort. What I like is what you opened up with from John 20:19. Can you imagine how afraid those disciples were?
Terrified.
Just, and again, 72 hours before, he said what you just read, I'm giving you my peace.
Right.
And it's not like the world, but they are petrified.
Yeah.
What happened here? And then he shows up and he says, Shalom Aleichem.
Mm-hmm.
And there's silence. There, can you see their eyes are just gazed at him?
Yeah, I can.
And he shows them everything so that they know it's him, the scars and from his hand and his feet and his hip. And then he says, Shalom Aleichem again.
Mm-hmm.
And they still sit there like a deer staring at headlights.
Wouldn't you, Tom?
Well, yeah, but
you're,
you know what?
You're in a locked room. The door didn't open.
It didn't open, and it's there. And what I think Jesus was looking for was an Aleichem Shalom. And back to you, may there be peace. He didn't hear that. And then he goes in and he talks on them. And I think in John, that's where he breathed on them. So they got a pre-taste of the Holy Spirit before Pentecost. They could feel that Spirit come. 8 days later,
yeah,
you've got to do it all over again.
Yeah, absolutely so powerful. And to think of that upper room that night with those terrified disciples, to see the risen Jesus and the gentle, kind, loving words out of his mouth are, peace be with you. That's just amazing. All right, we're going to take a little break. We're talking about peace today with Tom Berkowitz. And if you want to learn more about Tom, you can do so at themessianicjourney.org, themessianicjourney.org. We'll take a break and be right back.
I'm Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen. I love a good story, don't you? I love a good love story, a good mystery, a good travel log. I love a good turnaround story or a story that begins once upon a time and ends with happily ever after. So what's your story? Specifically, your Jesus story. What difference does Jesus make in your life? Could you tell it as a love story or a rescue story? However you tell it, trust me, we want to hear it. We love a good story. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio.
Shalom Aleichem. Did I say that right, Tom? How's my Hebrew?
I think it's great.
Good. And Shalom Aleichem again means what?
Peace be on you, or peace to you.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be a very appropriate greeting, wouldn't it?
It would be very appropriate.
If I'm in Israel, do I hear that all the time?
You do. And even if you're talking with an Arab, they call it Salam Aleichem.
Salam Aleichem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same thing.
Peace be with you.
Yeah. Peace be with you.
What a beautiful greeting.
It is.
Shouldn't we say that more often than have a nice day?
You know, I'm doing that more and more with people.
Yeah.
And if we understand that as believers, we are the priest. And when we speak a blessing to someone, it's a blessing straight from God.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So don't hold back.
No. It's like Numbers 6:26, where he gives the Aaronic benediction. And after that, it says, now you know you've been blessed by God. That's a new Berkowitz translation, but that's basically what it's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that blessing didn't come from the priest. It came from God himself.
Beautiful. So if we're looking for God's peace, we may have to listen. And sometimes you can be impatient while you're listening. So tell me about an experience you had waiting and listening upon the Lord.
Right. My middle name is Impatience.
Okay.
It was actually just a couple of years ago. And I was wrapping up being a teaching director at a very successful Bible study I had been leading for 25 years.
Community Bible study.
Community Bible
study. Say it out loud. That's all over the country, isn't it?
Right. And we had over 500 people coming. We were trying to get a work launched, and in Israel, and we did get one launched, and it was starting to catch fire, and it was time to move on, and I'm wondering, really? Am I relevant? Does this make sense? And I was meditating one day, trying to be quiet before the Lord, and these were the verses that I started reading, Isaiah 30, verse 15. This is what the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said. In repentance and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you are not willing. And I remember, who are you kidding, God? I'm not willing? I rattle your cage morning, noon, and night. I'm praying to you for direction. And I'm not willing? What's wrong with you? Don't you hear?
Are you showing anger towards God right now?
I was.
Well, you were at the time, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Do I? He's okay with that.
I know he is.
So anyway, then I read the next verse, but I switched translation from the New American Standard to the New Living Translation.
Okay.
I said, maybe I missed something.
All right.
So verse 17 says, one of them, 16, you said, no, we will get our help from Egypt. So I'm crying out for him, but he's saying, you're trying to get your help from everyone and everything else other than me.
Hmm.
So this is where I pick it up. You said, no, we will get our help from from Egypt. They will give us swift horses for riding into battle. But the only swiftness you're going to see is a swiftness of enemies chasing you. So what God was telling me, Tom, you're working this in your own strength. You're looking for all the human things for help. You're looking for new business so you can have finances so you can support this. Everything you're doing is you're turning metaphorically to Egypt for a fast horse, and none of them are fast enough. And you're trying to do it in your own strength. And then I moved into the next verse back into the New American Standard. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you, for the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for him. So what he was saying is, in your longing for me, you haven't turned to me, really, because your mind is still trying to come up with the solutions yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we drift down, it says, he will certainly be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And although the Lord has given you the bread of deprivation and the water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will see your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to your left. My heart went from anxiety to peace. It's something that I have a hard time articulating, but my anxious thoughts went to peace and trust. The situation hadn't changed. I had no idea how it was going to work. But somehow I knew it would work.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So you went from trying to necessarily solve a problem to just saying, I'm going to trust in you.
Right.
Okay. Because if you're trying to always solve a problem apart from the Lord's leading and direction, I can't imagine peace is going to show up.
That's correct.
What a hard lesson to learn. Don't we all learn that lesson, though?
It's very hard.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, if you don't go through it, I don't think you'll ever be able to grasp the fullness of God's peace when he can bring peace in the midst of a storm.
Mm-hmm. Tom, I've heard that expression that if you want to be a skilled sailor, you learn how to become a skilled sailor in rough seas.
Yes.
Not on calm waters.
The Peter Marshall, former chaplain to the U.S. Senate during World War II and into the Korean conflict, wrote this: oaks grow strong in contrary winds, and diamonds are made under pressure. That metaphor really applies to us in the Word.
Mm-hmm. Tom Berkowitz is my guest. We're talking about peace today, something we all want more of. And we search scriptures for God's peace. Sometimes we have to listen and be patient and wait for God's peace, but it is a promise. And I love that there are so many promises in scripture regarding peace. And Tom, if I can look at 2 Thessalonians 3:16, that's a longtime memory verse of mine, which says, "May the Lord of peace himself give you peace in every circumstance."
What a promise.
What a promise.
And can you imagine those Gentiles who have never heard anything like that? They're under the thumb of the Romans. Before that, they were under the thumb of the Greeks. And now they're being persecuted for their faith in Jesus because they were called atheists. They didn't believe in the gods. They believed in the one God. And then Paul writes that verse to them. And that's something that they could take into their heart. And their situation didn't change, but that word of encouragement was there for them.
Mm-hmm. We're all so hungry for the peace that comes only from him. And earlier in this discussion, I brought up John 14:27, but I think it's worth bringing up again because Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I don't give it as the world does. So don't be worried and upset and do not be afraid." So maybe that's absolutely what you needed to hear today because you're in the midst of anxiety or anxiousness over a decision, or you're awaiting the diagnosis or the outcome of something, and you have a lack of peace. And the goodness of God and the loving kindness of Jesus says, "I will give you my peace," and it's not anything the world gives. So maybe today we want to look for that peace that comes directly from him and not rely on anything that the world offers.
Right. And the beauty of that verse, and I love that verse, it's one of my foundational ones, is the verse immediately preceding in verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." So we can't do this on our own. But that Holy Spirit will kindle afresh how God has been faithful to us, even when we haven't been faithful to him. Think about that.
Mm.
One of the things that caused me to believe that God is God when I first became a believer was his promises that he's kept. And it goes way back to the Abrahamic covenant. He gave Abraham three promises. And he has kept them, and he's faithful to them.
I love that. Tom Berkowitz is my guest. We're talking about peace today, and I hope if you just tuned in that you go to the podcast and hear it from the beginning, because we are talking about peace from God's word, promises God has made to offer us peace, not only peace with God, but the peace of God. Both are being offered, and let's not miss any of it. Tom, in a world that is so confused and broken and sinful and evil, I'm looking at Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22, that says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." So maybe talk about that, if you would.
There is no peace for people if they don't have God in their life. They have short-term release. You know, money can cover a multitude of issues, but it doesn't give you peace. A number of years before I became a believer, I was at a sales conference, and I was listening to Zig Ziglar.
Oh, yeah, remember him.
And he said something that struck me. It was like his words shot through the audience, hit me in the head, and it started going down to my heart. He said that J. Paul Getty said on his dying deathbed he would trade all his billions for a happy home life.
Wow.
So here's a guy who had all the money in the world, and he had no peace. He had no happiness. And I'm thinking, why would I want to follow that trail?
Mm-hmm.
That's a trail that leads to nowhere.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a little break. Tom Berkowitz is my guest, and we're talking about peace today. And if you have just joined the discussion, Just so you know a little bit more about Tom, he and his wife, Marcia, have themessianicjourney.org. It's a website you can go check out their ministry, themessianicjourney.org. We'll be right back.
It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arno. Prime time, drive time. Let's get it started. Jump in your car. Yeah. What's for dinner? Hey. It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arno.
My friend Tom Berkowitz is with me in studio today, and as usual, he's saying a lot of interesting things, which I always appreciate, and they all come from the Word of God. And so we're talking about peace today. And Tom, before the break, you were mentioning a talk you heard given by Zig Ziglar, and he was referring to J. Paul Getty, a very wealthy person who said, "I'd trade it all for a happy home."
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That is pretty profound.
Yeah, and it was just about that same time I learned a little bit about dog racing. I was reading about it, and they train the greyhounds to chase a rabbit around the track so they can run fast. But in the article, it says, you know what happens if the dog catches a rabbit? And they said, they get rid of the dog because it will no longer chase a fake rabbit.
Wow.
And that metaphor just helped me. You chase after money and you get it, and there's no peace. You chase after the Lord, receive Him, and receive His peace. You have contentment in anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a Greek word recently in the last week. It's, I hope I'll say this right, pleonexia, which is a Greek word referring to greediness. And the Greek word refers to the consuming desire to possess more than others, regardless of actual need. And Paul calls greedy people idolaters. There's no way you have peace in that situation.
There is none. There is none. You know, and right now, you know, Israel's in a war, and there is no peace there. But more and more of the country is turning to find the hole that's missing in their heart. There's got to be some peace in the midst of this turmoil and this utter evil. There's about 30,000 Jews in Israel that believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and a good share of them are in the IDF. And there is a start. My prayer every day is for them to be salt and light, that they could show through in the midst of the combat, in the midst of the horrors that they're experiencing, that people would see something different. They would see a peace in their serving, in their being wounded, and even in their dying.
Mm-hmm.
I think in 2014, the first Messianic Jew in Israel was killed in Gaza. And at his funeral, over 10,000 people showed up. Think about that, 10,000 people. His church was in Haifa. They had the two church leaders, one was Arab and one was Jewish, and they gave a message. I mean, wow. There has to be light on that. It's overwhelming to me when you think about it.
I could see an announcement in the paper saying, second service added.
Yeah.
You know? That's a big turnout. All right, Tom Berkowitz, let's look at, if you would, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This takes us to Christmas time. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
The Tsar Shalom. Tsar is prince and shalom is peace. And that is one thing that has really shown through in my 45 years walking with the Lord. No matter what the circumstances, no matter how much my heart is troubled, I can find, if I quiet my spirit enough, that Prince of Peace. And peace can come over you in the most tumultuous of times.
Mm-hmm. So, Tom, let's encourage everyone listening that we can come to the understanding today, based on the Word of God, that Jesus is our source of peace, that He is the provider of peace, the place we go for peace, and the only person that can offer us true peace.
Correct. He is. There is no other. And there's a lot of counterfeits out there. But to me, it's, and maybe this is a bad metaphor, it's like peeling an onion. You keep peeling off one layer of skin after another. And what do you get when you get to the middle? There's nothing there. That's what it is when you chase after something else. For me, it's the reason why I came to the Lord. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates his love for you in this. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you."
Mm-hmm.
When I read that, I mean, I sat there and I was silent. See, I'm a firstborn son of a Jewish man. Love was based on my performance, and I never performed up to expectation, partially because I kept moving the target. And that's what happens when you chase after something other than Jesus. So when I read that verse, it said to me, "Tom, God demonstrated his love for you in this. While you were still not performing up to expectation, the Messiah died for you." Think about that. That gives you almost instant peace, because it takes all your strivings, all your angst, and it puts it on the bench, and it's replaced by the peace that can only come from him.
Mm-hmm. Tom, I'm wondering how many people just connected to your comment about being in a performance-based family, whether your father was Jewish or not. I mean, yours was, but other people grew up in families where performance was everything. 4 A's and a B, well, why didn't you get another A?
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden, the goals keep changing, so you can never perform up to a standard, and you feel crushed in spirit. And
right.
I don't know how you move forward in peace when you feel that kind of crushed spirit.
It I can tell you the experience, and this is a trite one. When I was playing football in high school, I was trying out for the long snapper. So I would practice snapping. I'd snap 100 balls a day at a tree that was really kind of small in diameter. And I'd hit that thing 96 times out of 100.
Wow.
Just working at it. My dad said, "Well, you missed 4.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always felt like a failure.
Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah. So that's what it feels like when you try to get peace, or you try to find purpose when you don't have the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about another verse that I've memorized, which is Isaiah 32:17. "The fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever."
Right. Where do we get righteousness from?
Jesus.
Right. It's mm-hmm. the only place we can. And when you have that righteousness and you have that peace, then you can have that confidence.
But the fruit of that righteousness will be peace. So if you don't have that righteousness, how do you get that righteousness? Repent and believe?
Repent and you believe. Like when I opened up the sacrifice for sin offerings, and you read about in Leviticus and Numbers, right immediately following that. In fact, while they're still eating the sin offering, they gave the peace offering. That's the only time you can have peace, is when you get rid of your sins.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't there a passage, too, where before you come to the communion table, if you've got unfinished business with anyone or you need to go forgive someone, go do it first?
Right. Paul said that clearly in 1 Corinthians 11.
Okay. I knew you knew exactly where that was, Tom Berkowitz. Thank you for that. All right, let's talk about the way Paul would open his letters. So often he would start with "grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." That seemed to be kind of the way he would start his letters.
Right.
Because, why is that so important?
Because he knows where the source of peace is. And everyone he was writing to was in turmoil. And the more pressure he was under, the more he said that to people. I mean, one of my favorite books of the Bible is 2 Corinthians. And he was writing that, from your guest, Michael Wise, I learned, he was writing that when he was in prison and modern scholars believe, in Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he was despaired for his very life. And he says to them, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." So in the midst of his turmoil, where he thought he was going to die, he gives us a blessing of peace. And I think if you look at 1 Peter, he says it up real good. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into a marvelous light."
Mm.
So no matter what you're facing, just preaching forth that peace, that blessing, will help people in their time of need. I mean, only the priest could do the Aaronic benediction. Aaron and his descendants, no other person can do it. But now, since we have Jesus in our heart and we're a royal priesthood, we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Tom Berkowitz is my guest. We're talking peace today, and I love in the book of Jude, Tom, it starts in verse 1, "To those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance."
It's a beautiful.
Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance.
Yes, that's a great, great promise and blessing. And think about it, Jude was a brother of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
did not believe in him at first. And Jesus revealed himself, he saw, he believed, and it's so ingrained in his DNA, he's oozing with it, and he wants to encourage the believers. When he's saying that, the people he's writing to, they were under severe persecution. That's something we don't understand here in this country, but we're going to get to learn it more and more as a lot of what we believe is being outlawed, or we could only share it in our churches or in our homes. We're going to get more and more persecution. But throughout the world, believers, followers of Jesus, are persecuted. In fact, I read a Gallup poll that Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world. Why is that? Because he's truth. If it wasn't truth, why would they care what you believe?
Mm. Salvation is to be found in him alone. In all the world, there's no other name by which you can be saved. Right. Acts 4:12. So that's true. So that's a very divisive statement.
Yeah. Think about it. You got according to the last census, which was of Jewish people, which is done every Yom Kippur. So in February or September of this, of 2023, there is 15.6 million Jews in the world. There's 8 billion people. We're a rounding error.
Wow. No kidding.
We're a rounding error. But we have been called. We have an anointing. And God has kept his promise. He's kept us a distinct people. He's kept his promises to the grafted in ones to that promise. The Gentiles, those who call upon his name, they're going to be persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to enlist a lot of followers, but I want to tell you before you sign up, you're going to get persecuted. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you worse.
Yeah. That's a
you want to sign up?
Oh, yeah. That's an amazing number. If there's 8 billion people in the world, and you say there's 15.6 million Jews?
Right.
Oh, that's...
We're a rounding error.
Yeah. Rounding error is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm...
Did I say it too quick?
Maybe, but okay. That's all right. It's not an expression, not two words I hear together very often, rounding error.
Well, I come from a financial background.
Yeah.
And on a lot of times on financial statements, you'll get an asterisk.
Okay.
They'll say it's a rounding up.
Okay.
So I call it a rounding error.
There you go. That explains it. Tom Berkowitz is my guest. We're talking about peace today. If you want to learn more about Tom and his ministry, you can go to themessianicjourney.org, themessianicjourney.org. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Bill Arnold. You might be the kind of person that goes to Paris and still listens to Faith Radio on the app. Or you might be more like the person that goes into the next room in your apartment and listens. The good news is using the app is just as easy in both places. Downloading the free app is crazy easy. Just text the word app to 877-933-2484. 84 and click the link. And if you happen to be in Paris, there is a really nice little coffee shop not far from the Eiffel Tower that serves a really nice chocolate biscotti. I'm glad we had a little break. I'm with Tom Berkowitz. And during the break, I was thinking to myself, and Wyatt was joining into the conversation, how are these numbers even possible? 8 billion people and only 15.6 million Jews in the world. So, Tom, put some perspective. How many Jews are in Israel?
There's about 7.5 million, a little bit less than that,
okay,
are citizens of Israel, Hebrew-speaking Jews. And probably out of that number, just to put it in perspective, maybe a consensus that there is 30,000 who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So they're just a small, small percentage, but it's growing. Back in 1948, when Israel became a nation, there was two families that believed in Jesus, 23 people. By 1967, there was 1,000. And today, there's about 30,000. And it hasn't been easy for them, because Jews who don't believe in Jesus will often call those Jews that do, that they were worse than Hitler, because Hitler killed our bodies, but you're killing our souls.
Mm.
And it's quite the opposite.
All right, so if there's about 7 million Jews in Israel, tell me the population around Israel.
All right, there's about 117 million Muslim Arabs around Israel.
That's a staggering number.
Right. And their land mass is unbelievable, how much land they own. But they want that sliver of land that's the size of Rhode Island or New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want. They don't want the Jewish people there. I mean, you think, just let them go. Then archaeologists have shown that there's a Jewish presence in the land for over 3,000 years. And they call the Jews the colonizers.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's the other way around. The Muslims, the Arabs, came in and they colonized Israel. Then they left and they came back in again. And even on the Temple Mount, they proved that there is a church there to our Lord that they replaced with a mosque. And they got rid of the church.
Mm.
And they found it in the archaeological digs.
So, Tom, my math is horrible, but I'm thinking of roughly 9 million Jewish people in Israel, and there's 113 million Arabs and Muslims that want to take over that land. Just looking at those numbers, statistically, I would say there's going to be trouble, but when God is upholding and supporting and sustaining Israel, there is no problem.
There is no problem. God is not a liar.
No, he's not.
He's not a liar. The new covenant is found in Jeremiah 31:31-34, and that's repeated in Hebrews 8. And that covenant, I'm making a new covenant with you, with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And that's what he's talking about. But what's really, if I can find it here real quick, what's really telling is the verses that immediately follow. And this is what God, speaking through Jeremiah, says after he gives a new covenant. This is what the Lord says: He who gives the sun for light by day and the fixed order of the moon and stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord of armies is his name. If this fixed order departs from me, declares the Lord, then the descendants of Israel will also cease to be a nation for before me forever. This is what the Lord says: if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth search out below, then I will also reject all the descendants of Israel for everything that they have done, declares the Lord. So he made a promise They're not going away.
Mm-hmm.
He used some really nice metaphors. If they go away, then he's a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's a liar, then none of us have assurance of our salvation.
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
They're not going away.
You know, I tell people this. There's 2.5 billion Christians in the world. And forgive me for this, but if 100 million or 200 million of them are killed, the story keeps going. But if the 15.6 million Jews in the world are destroyed and wiped out, then none of us have any hope. Because he made a promise to our father Abraham that he would always have a physical descendant. So God is not a liar. He's true to his word.
Amen to that. Tom Berkowitz is my guest. Tom, we're down to a handful of minutes here, and I do want to look at a verse from 2 Peter. It starts in verse 13. It says, "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." Now, that's an exciting thought right there. But it goes on in verse 14, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." So when you read that verse and see that, Tom Berkowitz, what are you thinking when we're told to be at peace with him? Doesn't our peace come from him?
I think we all have to make peace with God. In order to make peace with him, we have to believe who he is. We make peace with him because Peter, when he wrote this, knew that his life was about to be ended in the most horrific way imaginable to humankind. And he was saying, I have made peace with that. I have surrendered my will to God's will so that his will can be done. And because he did that, he can have peace. No matter what they do to him, they cannot take that peace from him. I think that's what he's talking about there.
Okay. Now, we just have a couple of minutes left, Tom, and I want to look at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 9. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." How do we go out in this world today, even this weekend, and be a peacemaker?
That's a constant message that's throughout the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Jesus said it. Paul talks about it. And what it shows is they have love for first with God and then with our neighbors, whether they like us or not. And we're called, as much as it's possible for us, to be at peace with all people. That's what Paul writes about in Romans 12. We're called to do that. Have you ever been wronged by someone and now you have to sit next to them? As much as it depends on you, you need to be at peace with them. Now, they may not have peace with you, but that's on them. You're called to do that. We're called. The only way you can be a peacemaker is to be humble.
I think it's so important to repeat that scripture verse. That comes from Romans 12, and in verse 18, it says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone."
Right. Further up in that chapter, it says, "Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought."
Hmm.
So, and that's the only way you can have peace.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's offended you and hurt you. We're called to love God. We're called to be salt and light. And when you can show love and forgiveness, you'll receive peace. And they're going to see something they hadn't seen before. They're going to see light, and it's going to give glory to your Father in heaven.
And it may not be easy, right, Tom Berkowitz?
It's never easy.
Okay.
Especially for somebody who holds grudges.
Are you a grudge holder?
I try not to be, but it's in my DNA.
Yeah. Such a good topic, such a great conversation. I know all of us are interested in the topic of peace. And if you just tuned in and you've missed a great hour. So I do encourage you to go back to the podcast, which you can do at myfaithradio.com. Tom Berkowitz has been my guest today for the full hour. And I'm so glad he was here talking about peace. It's something I needed to hear. And I hope you feel the same way. You can learn more about Tom and his ministry at the messianicjourney.org, themessianicjourney.org. We're going to take a little short break, and I promise we'll be right back. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.